Thank you very much, Daddy Grant. I may have perhaps a few more grays than he does, but that's one of my daddies. Anywhere I stay the night, people get to be my parents. Praise God. Thank you, Nicolette. Thank you, Sister Chapman. Alive. Everybody say that. Alive after 434. Alive. Alive. If he was not alive, if Jesus was not alive, this would be a waste of time. We may as well be at some... Oh, I almost said beach, but you'd have to go all the way to Trinidad for that. You know, you don't want to be on the beach this morning. At least I don't think so. But, Kariakou? Or Kariakou, one of those places. Praise God. I want to thank you for inviting me on this occasion when we expect more people in church. I'm humbled by this opportunity to minister this morning. I want to thank the elders and the saints for inviting me. I especially want to welcome Madeline. Is Madeline still here? Madeline left? She's out in the back. She's busy doing something out in the back. But she brought about 8 people here this morning. Give Madeline a round of applause, please. Praise God. Please remember us in prayers. My wife is not here. She's unable to be here in person. She is on the Zoom, so I still have to be careful with what I say. But she had a medical procedure just this week, and so she is at the home of Mommy Bernice. You know, it's Mommy Bernice over there. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mommy Bernice, for putting us up, because the nurses has to visit. Nurses have. Did I say has? Right, the nurses have to visit. Ryan is watching me with a cross eye there. Nurses have to visit this week, so she has to be as close as possible. So thank you. Mommy Bernice opened her home, and I'm telling you, I think she's blessed with the gift of hospitality. Oh, you knew that already? Okay. I'm just learning that. Praise God. You know, I have seen some extravagant celebrations of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Glory to God! I commend the organizers and the celebrants of those on those occasions. My earnest recommendation to them have always been that they try to match that level of celebration as much as they could more frequently. Because we do it more frequently. Just in case those of you who might be visiting this morning don't understand what happened before, that was our celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't wait once a year to do it. We do it every Sunday. Glory to God. Glory to God. While ministering, if I say things that are not easy on the air, you know, I'll be a very popular person. But God has not called me to popularity. The minute this becomes about Rodney Brown, and the minute it becomes about you liking me, it stops being about love. It stops being about God. What I'm about to deliver, I will with fear and trembling. I exhort you to listen carefully and do as the Bereans did after Paul preached to them, according to Acts 17:11. I want you to examine it. Don't just swallow what I say. Examine what I say. God is always right. However, preachers are sometimes not always right. Do not believe every word I say until you research it for yourself. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but God is. Give you a tip. In determining whether or not content is correct. The criteria must never be if it's convenient, or if it's comfortable, or if it's popular. Let me just give you the concept briefly. This is still part of my background and my introduction. Let me give you the concept. Some New Testament churches are developing a tradition of reserving just 1 week to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not trying to elevate the brethren above others, but as I said before, we do it every Sunday. Glory to God. It has become a trivial thing to worship God in the same way that the heathen worship their gods. Satan has prepared a shadow or a counterfeit. For those of you, especially from the Caribbean, you know when a government is in place, the opposition often puts up a shadow or a shadow minister of health or a shadow minister of education, so that he or she keeps tabs of what is going on the other side. Sometimes he or she criticizes or feels that they are in fact in that position. But Satan has prepared a shadow or counterfeit of redemption to trick and confuse even the very elect. We're going to hear the gospel this morning. But just before hearing the gospel, let me just clear up a few things. God gives clarity on how he receives the celebration of his death, burial, and resurrection, and its true meaning. We need to give love and teaching the way the recipient receives it. So it's almost like a football game. You're passing something to somebody else. In this case, you're passing love. But can you see a football game? Can you see a guy there waiting for the ball for a pass? And someone passes it as though they were passing it to Javier, but they were passing it with Brother Rodney. Brother Rodney is somewhere here. But instead of Javier, they're passing it to Brother Rodney, and he's a little shorter than I am. You understand what I'm saying? So he thinks it's a good pass, but it missed. We must pass according to what the recipient, or how the recipient can receive it. Does that make sense? Our gifts must never be about what we like, or what we are accustomed to, or about what we have invested in. It must be about the recipient and what he specifically asked for. You know, I remember a story about Chris. Chris went to church one morning, and he went to the pastor after, and he said, "Pastor, I didn't like the worship this morning." The pastor responded, "That's okay. It wasn't for you." It is important that we get things in perspective and not about our traditions or what we like, but what God wants. I've been doing some research of the genesis of this one season celebration or focus on the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, but I've not completed it, so I can't give you anything that I've picked up with regard to that research. But I can tell you this. During the reign of the Roman Emperor Constantine the Great, AD 306 to 337, for what is believed by many to be a campaign to further his political agenda, he made great strides in systematically converting his dynasty and those territories he was colonizing to a strange brand of Christianity. He had a good idea. Say, good idea. He had a good idea, in that Constantine told his missionaries that since the people of the new territories have their own traditions, rituals, and gods, they should not try to change anything, but see how these practices could be mixed with Christianity so that the resistance would be less. The idea was to have a kind of syncretism. I think that's up there. The definition is up there as well. Syncretism of Christianity and pagan worship. You know, a syncretism is like the attempt, the attempted reconciliation or union of different or opposing principles and practices or parties. It's like mixing things that don't mix well. It's like mixing oil and water, you know? But, praise God, again, before I go into that, the plan was really not actually to worship their gods, you know, but to use their traditions and practices to worship his God. But there was a God idea. Can we say that after four? God idea, three, four?
God idea.
Come on, we have too many people in here for that to be so soft. Three, four?
God
idea. I like that. Deuteronomy chapter 12 verses 29 to 32 says, "When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it." Are you getting the distinct impression that there is an exact or only way in which God wants some things done? What did God say about the commemoration of his death, burial, and resurrection? What about death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? What did God say? How would he like it done? I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 to the last verse in that passage that I'll read. "And as they were eating," I think that was mentioned this morning, "Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Wow, that is what he expects. Praise God. Mark chapter 14, verse 22. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Wow. That's what we did this morning. And anyone here who didn't participate in that, or who wants to, should I say, qualify? If you want to be part of that, you can be part of it. It starts with you giving your life to God. It starts with you committing your life to God. It continues with you becoming a member of our assembly and being baptized. You can do this. You can't celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection in an astronomical way. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this. Can you say that? Do this after four, three, four. Do. You're getting better at this. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do. Can you say this do? Three, four.
This do.
As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You see, everybody's accommodated. He said, first of all, he said, do this. And if people still didn't understand, he said, this do. Why does he keep repeating himself, though? Didn't we get it the first time? Probably not. On a lighter note, speaking about people repeating things to you all the time, like as some people consider it nagging, so some marriage advice on the side. Wives, are there wives here? If your husband says he will fix it, he will fix it. There is no need to remind him every 6 months to do it. And husbands, save yourselves. Sorry, husbands. Wives, you can close your ears a little bit. Save yourself the stress and just do it after the first request. Back to the cricket. Oh, sorry, not cricket here. Baseball. Football? Back to the football. But he keeps repeating himself. He keeps repeating himself. Do we have to wait a whole year before having a grand celebration? No. Acts 27. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together, to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day. And he prolonged his message until midnight. Okay, I promise you I would not do that part of it. I will not prolong this message until midnight. This has great news in it for you. We can do this celebration every week. As guided by God's word, let us resist the temptation and the tradition of the world to reduce the commemoration of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ to just one season. Let us commit our lives to the true Redeemer and expose the works of darkness. You know, since Easter time and special holiday times are days when people do come to church, it's an ideal opportunity to introduce the good news of Jesus and to have a special day for those who will come to church on those days. Prepare for them properly. Praise God. So I fully endorse the opportunities that people will take, like opportunities like in carnival camp and that kind of stuff. And this stands apart and distinct from following the traditions of the world. You know, I often wonder, though, what are some of the things we see around Easter time that people claim to be using to celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection? Pardon? Eggs? Where did that come from? Where did the eggs idea come from? From who?
Kite flying.
Okay, that's another thing we celebrate. And I remember that. That's a Caribbean person, Brother Wilson.
Yeah.
Because I remember that kite flying thing. But I don't think they necessarily use that in commemoration. It just happened around that time because there's a lot of breeze in the Caribbean around that time. Easter Bunny, where did that come from? Where did the Easter Bunny, what does that have to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? And do bunnies lay eggs anyway? Okay, they don't. And the what do you call it? The lilies, the bonnets. No, I don't want to look anywhere because next thing you know, a sister sit down there with a nice hat and she feel like talking about her. No, I'm not talking about anybody here. But where did that Easter bonnet thing come from? You know? And the sunrise service, where you put your back to the church or chapel and look out to where the sun is. And you wait until the sun rises. And you sing praises. And you sing songs. Yeah, I know. It's hamburger we used to call you in camp, right? I know hamburger would remember that. You know, in camp every year we had, we still have it, sunrise service. And we'd wait until the sun comes up and we'll sing. So I don't know if some of you had that experience. We'll sing songs like, morning has broken. Morning has, okay, no, I wouldn't try to do that to you this morning. Broken like the first morning. And all kind of sun songs and songs we sang. Do you ever wonder where these things came from? I assure you, it's not from the Bible. I assure you it's not from the Bible. Is it harmless or is it harmful? Brother Brown, what's the big deal? This thing is so harmless. It's not like it's an abomination or anything. Ezekiel 8:13-18, quickly. And he said to me, turn again and you will see greater abomination. He said abominations there. You will see greater abominations that they are doing. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house. And to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. See, pronounce it properly for me. I think I heard somebody pronounce it differently. Tammuz? Tammuz. Yes. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again. You will see greater abominations than these. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple, and the Lord, backs towards the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they were worshipping the sun toward the east. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a trivial thing? Is it a trivial thing to the house of Judah, for the house of Judah to commit these abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence. Then they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, I also will act in fury. My eyes will not spare, nor will have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. Is God angry about something? You know, sometimes, you know, we could be insensitive to the feelings of others, to the emotions of others. I know there are some husbands, their wife is ranting. And he's like doing so. He said, oh, you said something? Sometimes we are oblivious. But it's obvious that that God is angry about something here. What is an abomination? Something vile, vicious, or terrible, horrible, repugnant, disgusting. Now, I don't expect you to go being rude to anybody who greets you at any holiday season. That's not the thing here. Don't ask any questions. You know, I expect if someone offers me some hot cross buns, be assured, and I know Mommy Grant probably brought some for me, be assured, yeah, I will have it. I won't ask any questions. Praise God. But you can eat it. If you are told it's offered up to idols, don't eat it. What is Satan trying to defile, though? Because he's going through a lot to try to defile something. For this thing to have all this play, it must be something big he's trying to distract us from. We sang it this morning. We sang it. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior. Help me. Yeah. Waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty o'er his foes. Help me, please. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Come, make this good, make this good. Come on, church. He arose. Help me, come on. Hallelujah. Christ arose. That's what he's trying to defile. There's good news. We were created and designed to last forever. That's the original design. I know. I remember buying a toy for my nephew, I think. It was a little Tykes toy. And I remember, although it was designed for children, it was designed to be indestructible. So that I remember at the time being 180 pounds and riding on that thing. And it stood the test of times. But you know, there is always this one kid in the neighborhood whose vocabulary did not include the word indestructible. So yeah, sure enough, child came from up the road and he managed to destroy it. And that reminds me about Adam. We were created to be indestructible. But when Adam did what he did, death was a result. What kind of death? Spiritual death, for sure. In fact, there was even physical death, because we were not going to die. So physical death, we started to die immediately. It took hundreds of years, but Adam eventually died. And then the second death is ahead of us. The second death, that's the lake of fire. Because our indestructible nature was messed up. So Adam sinned and the human brand developed a defect called death. Is that okay? What I mean by that is, do you understand that? Because it's certainly not okay. This is what went down. Man was created and placed in the garden and given an instruction. Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Genesis chapter 3 verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Pause there. Did Eve cause any of this? People are afraid to answer. No, Eve watching the fruit or eating the fruit didn't do anything to us. But when she gave it to her husband, look at this. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. And that is when we had problems. The consequence is written in Revelation. Revelation 20 verses 14 to 15. Then death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. How do I get my name written in the book of life? Hold on. Before I give you that, God responded.
God responded. Glory, hallelujah. God responded to this. So when Jesus had received sour wine, he said, it is finished. He said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus died. Luke 24, verses 5 to 6. Then as they, we said this morning, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? That was the woman who went to the tomb. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. Help me. Help me. One more time. He's not here, but is risen. Hallelujah. Remember how we spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? This is what Satan is trying to defile or corrupt. This is what Satan is trying to defile or corrupt and bring in all kind of outside stuff. The price is paid. The victory is won. Those who have not yet, remember I said this is a brand, a human brand. Those of you who have not yet accepted or have not yet gotten their level C upgrade, it's available today. Your level C for Christian upgrade. You can get that upgrade today. Hallelujah. And you can return to that state where you are virtually indestructible. Where you will not see that second death. Where you can have victory over this thing. And where you can start in earnest to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. In a way that you may not have been able to before. Again, I remind you, God can make you indestructible again. But this is not a magna thing. Make something great again. But he could seriously make you indestructible again. If you are looking at us on Zoom, I don't even know where the camera is. Right. So if you are looking at us on Zoom and you realize that you are going to face death, that you are going to be destroyed, so to speak, in hell, and you want that upgrade now, you better type something to Javier up there in that room. Type something, and we will be able to help and point you to how you can be saved, how you can know it, how you can get your upgrade today. The best part of it is that, you know, you can celebrate, as I said, not the best part just yet, but you can celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it can take new meaning. And you could have a major celebration every Sunday. You know, the Lord will become your shepherd, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as that. Just declare that he is now in charge of you. He is now your Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thus, being able to be credited with his righteousness, you will be saved. Amen. And again, as I repeat, that's an artist's depiction of, you know, the house of the Lord. I can almost assure you, because I never saw it either, but I almost assure you, that is nothing compared to what the house of the Lord would be like. But it looks good, doesn't it? What have we just heard as we close? Check the information for yourself. Not because it's traditional or popular, it's right.
God is not the author of the 1 week season, Easter season kind of thing. God commands separation from their way. God says exactly what he requires. It is not a trivial thing to worship in the way that he does not want. Jesus loves you. He was raised so that you could be justified or credited with his righteousness. This is a matter of life or death. The choice is yours. Early a morning in this week past, some people were going across a bridge, and you saw it. Baltimore. I am almost sure they didn't have a clue that they would be alive now and dead in a few moments. This is a matter of life or death. I'm not saying this to scare you, but timing is everything. God might be calling you now to give your life to God. As guided by God's word, let us resist this temptation and the tradition of the world to reduce the commemoration of his death, burial, and resurrection. Or the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ to just one season. Let us commit our lives to the Redeemer and expose the works of darkness. Is there anyone, by the way, this morning who would want to give their life to God? Is there anybody in our company? Anybody on Zoom? There is a raise hand icon in Zoom. You just have to raise that hand. Is there anyone who would want to give their lives to God and get their upgrade this morning? Anybody here? Father, oh God, just stand with me. Everybody, just stand with me. Can you stand with me? Let's pray. Almighty God, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. Father, oh God, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. Father, oh God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for what your word could do, O God. Father, O God, some of us here, we are thinking about somebody. We are thinking about somebody who has not yet given their lives to you, O God. Father, we want to lift up that particular person. Maybe it's a son. Maybe it's a daughter. Maybe it's a cousin, a parent, O God. Father, we are praying especially for this person as we know it's a matter of life or death. Maybe it's a student. Father, oh God, a friend. Father, oh God, we want to see them live. Father, oh God, we want to see them live. Father, we pray for them in a very special way this morning. Maybe it's somebody who's here. And maybe God is whispering. Whispering, come to me. Come to me. Give your life now. This is the time. This might be your last time. Father, oh God, may they have the courage to step up and say, I want to live for Jesus. Oh God. Father, maybe it's somebody on Zoom. Lord, we pray that there would be life as a result of hearing your word. Father, we pray that you will take us to our various places at this time in peace and in safety. We pray that the savor of your word will go with us. We ask this in the mighty and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise God. You may have your seat.
Well, that brings us to